A partnership that is in a disgruntled state is not good for the morale, the culture, the practice. It will fester. It will ultimately end up in a larger, bigger outbreak. That typically is not good for the business as a whole. No one wins in that.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Just overall excited here to be recording today. We're going to talk about something that I think is very interesting. Last week was clinical. Great episode with Allie. If you haven't listened, go check it out. But this week, we're going to jump into a conversation I'm having online in regards to a doctor who's in a partnership. There's some challenge with the partnership. I think it's a super eye-opening conversation that's worth having. And so I want to read some of the conversations today and just go into some detail on if you're looking for partnership, if you're in a partnership, just things that you should set up or think about so that you don't end up in a situation where there's confrontation and conflict. And as someone coming in from a partnership, I can tell you that can happen. And my partner is obviously my dad. So anywho, super excited about that. On that note, go sign up for the 3D Dentist app. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good discussion happening. You can get on the Apple Store, the Android Store. It's the 3D Dentist app, 3D-Dentist. The website is pro.3D-Dentist.com. You can sign up. It's free. And join in on some of these conversations. It's like a good Facebook group, but without the Facebook BS part of it. So anyways, okay, so we kind of got in this conversation about with hiring associates and then associates eventually potentially turning into partners. And it was interesting kind of how we got into this conversation about partnerships was really through a lab bill question. So Jason had kind of said, hey, how do you deal with associates and lab bills? And I was like, well, we're a CEREC office, so we don't pay a lab bill, or our associates don't pay the lab bill because there's the expectation that they're going to use CEREC. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the savings there for me. And so I'm not going to charge them $30 a block or whatever every time that they do a crown. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have checks and balances to make sure that we're not just doing tons of remakes. But if they use CEREC and they use it outside of unique situations where we approve sending things out, then they don't pay for their lab bill. They're paid for their adjusted percentage or their collection percentage, and that's how they're paid. And so Jason said, hey, I'm a CEREC office also, but I still have a very large lab bill each month. When you add an Invisalign, it makes it significantly larger. Large lab bills can change those percentages fairly fast. And he's not wrong. So my first response was, and I want to talk about ortho specifically, is that ortho is really, it's twofold. One, ortho is a team-driven procedure, meaning it shouldn't require a lot of doctor time, especially if you have EFTAs, it should require very minimal doctor time. And so it is team driven. And what we typically do in that is the associate that oversees the ortho case is paid a set fee. So maybe that's $300 when they start, $200 when they start, $200 when they end, $300 when they end, like net number that gets paid to their paycheck. Because of these aligner cases, they do have such a disproportionate lab bill that you can't just pay them a percentage of the production or the percentage of collections like you normally would. So I do think there's a caveat there that I think is ortho is important, is that if you as the owner aren't doing it or overseeing the team member that's doing it and you're paying an associate to do the ortho, which is what we do in our office at this point, just because I don't want to fool with it, is we pay them a set fee based off starting and based off ending on a net number. So that way I know I've got my overhead covered, I have their fee covered, and then there's still profit for the business on that end. So that's kind of how we deal with ortho. But this is kind of where it got into this partnership discussion. Because of my lab costs, the other owner in my practice wants us to pay for our own lab bills before dividing up our ownership end of the month. The type of dentistry a lot of us do has more lab expenses, but also produces more, makes the profession more fun and exciting. Like, absolutely. Like when you place implants, you may have guides, you may have abutments. Shoot, hybrids are a really fun thing to do. They have a big lab bill. His production is significantly less, and the lab bill is around $8,000 a month. So what this gets into now is, okay, well, how do you divide this up? And ultimately, this goes back to a bigger conversation of how do you pay yourself? And you've heard this probably talked on the podcast before, and that's that we firmly believe in paying yourself as an associate. there's two ways to think about this, right? As an owner or dentist or as a partner, I make money two ways. I make money as selling the DDS. That's my employee income. And I make money as Sully the owner or Sully LLC as the partner of the practice. So what we still have to remember is that for the most majority of us, even myself as a big practice, the majority of my take-home income still comes from what I do with my employee income. And that is getting paid a percentage of either collections or of adjusted production, essentially the same number that gets you paid, and that's what you get paid. So if I do $1 million and I'm paid 30%, I take home $300,000 as an employee. Now, I'm not going to get into the tax ramifications of this because this would be a whole other longer episode outside of let's handle this here. And then you can have the conversation with your accountant and they can fiddle the numbers to get to the same outcome that is in the most tax advantaged way. Because I get some of you don't want to take, you want to take less W-2, more is this, blah, 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 blah. On how you do it's irrelevant how you take the money. On paper is that you're taking the money, right? So, okay. So I get paid my associate income. So that's 30%, 32%. In our office, we get paid as an owner 35% of adjusted production. That is my fee as an employee that I get paid. So if I do more dentistry, I make more. Now, yes, in theory, I'm making the business more money, but so would any other doctor in the business that was doing that. And I'm still winning because I'm making 35%. The reality is most of our practices, the partnership income, the Sully LLC income is only making maybe 10% off what I do. Some of you, it's 5%, some of it's 1%. And then if you're really optimized, you may be up to 15 or 20%. But that's still a very disproportionate number relative to the 35% that I should be getting paid as an associate. So if you're taking a low number and then you're splitting things off at the top with like, there's a lot more money going in to the ownership because maybe you're not, like you're only paying yourselves 25% or 20%, then yes, that would be super unfair because you're not technically paying yourself what it would cost to even replace you. So we are firm believers at 3D Dentists that you need to pay yourself like it would cost to replace you if you were no longer there. So just because Sully the dentist happens to be an owner, if I'm not there, I got to pay someone to do it. I should get paid the same fair wage that they get paid. If anything, I should get paid more because I'm an owner in that practice, like an owner kicker, basically. So kind of continuing on here. So one thing I think is challenging here is he says we aren't following the contract because he doesn't feel it's fair. I think that's a problem because at the end of the day, like we sign a contract that needs to be honored. And if it's not working out, we need to have a discussion to get it figured out because a partnership that is in a disgruntled state is not good for the morale, the culture of the practice. It will fester. It will ultimately end up in a larger, bigger outbreak that typically is not good for the business as a whole. No one wins in that. And I've seen this firsthand because Dad and I got frustrated on things and we had to finally get to a point where you kind of hash them out and move forward because everyone loses that is literally like everybody just like a nuclear war, everyone loses, right? Like that to me is kind of the what happens when a partnership is not going well is like you may have some grenades you can throw, but they've got grenades they can throw. It just destroys everything anyways. So like that's not a good situation. So then kind of following this conversation, so all formulas usually seem to work out fair until one person cuts back and the others work or produce more. That's happened to me now over the bulk of my career. And still, so what are some ideas to do this? My percentage take home can be 20 to 40% less than his some months. And that doesn't seem fair. And I would agree with that. So here is the challenge in what we do here, what we see here is one is that a very, very good thing to set up when you set up a partnership agreement is that you define what the requirement is for the partners on a minimum standpoint for two things, days worked and production. The reason that I think production is important is because it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to contribute to the practice, to the success of the practice, to the continued growth of the practice, and I will have a number that I will get to. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't a goal, so don't hear me wrong. It's more of like a minimum number. So if you normally in the past have done, let's just use simple math, and you do $1 million a year, maybe you're guaranteed, hey, I'm going to do 750. Like that's my, I will make sure that I get $750,000 in production every year for the partnership. So you've got a minimum. So you can't just cut back completely, go live on an island, and then just make 5%, 10% off of the other partner pulling all the weight. Like, that's not an ideal situation. The second part is the minimum time required to work. And I think this is important too. And this is important not from a production standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint. Because there's an expectation that as a partner in a practice, whether you're a minority partner or a majority partner or 50-50 partners, that you're pulling some weight of the leadership, the culture building, the coaching, that there's some involvement in that area. And in order to do that, you have to be in the office. You can't be gone all the time and still meet that need of the practice. So I think in every partnership agreement, there should be a minimum percentage, minimum production number that you hit. There should be a minimum days worked that you hit, and that these solve two of the big problems here that we're having. The other is that you pay yourself like an associate, and then look, we that should fit that, hey, if somebody wants to bust it, produce $3 million, like the practice wins and that doctor wins. And it's proportionally related to the work that they do and the way the business is set up in the agreement. Now, another unique way of handling this in a situation where you have a doctor that just is wanting to slowly step back, they still want to maintain some level of partnership, but they want to step back in the days that they're working. Maybe they're still hitting their number, but they're not necessarily hitting their days worked number, is that you, and so what they're really offloading is not their production, but they're offloading the leadership and responsibilities of an owner. Then you look at paying one of the partners, the other partners, there's an administrative salary type fee that kind of is like a kicker, knowing that they're having to put in more work and do more of that. And this is something we've actually done here at Sellable Dental Partners that's worked well, because naturally my dad's at a point in his career where he's like, hey, I just want to produce. And then honestly, that's kind of what I want him to do, right? Like, I want him to focus on the production. I want to be the coach, the leader. And so that's going to come at some cost of my production. Because if I just worked every day, all day, and I was a production mule, I would produce more. Therefore, I would take home more money. So for me to step back and help build the business, coach the employees, coach the associates, coach the systems, optimize all of that, it comes at a cost of my employee income, and he still gets to benefit from that, right? Because he's still an owner, he's still practicing as a partner. And so to offset kind of that maybe decrease in income, I get paid a separate salary as like basically the leader and coach or the CEO of the practice. Now, that could look like a small number. It could look like $1,000 a month. It could look like $5,000 a month. It could be kind of a broad range of how you set it up based off how you value it. But I do think it's a good idea to consider in a situation where, you know, you have kind of this setup where it seems like, hey, is this unfair? Is this not unfair? And the way that we're doing things. So T-Bone kind of said, hey, ideally you pay yourself as an associate, eat what you kill, then profit just split based off the equity. And that kind of got into, but one partner works 3 days a week, the other partner works five, doubles the production. You know, this now all of a sudden feels hard to split. And again, I think that's where it's important to have these conversations, because this is not uncommon. Like, at some point, my dad, I'm 36, my dad's 63, 62. At some point, he will probably slow down either days worked or production relative to what I could do. And we want to be able to know what to do and address that. Ours is kind of the opposite a little bit right now, because I don't work as much as he does because he likes doing that. But that caused my production to decrease. So then naturally we came up with this idea of, hey, I should have some sort of administrative salary. So I think these are really good things to think about, whether you go in, because no one goes into a partnership, no one goes into a marriage thinking, hey, I'm going to get divorced, we're going to break this thing up. It just, that's the reality of the situation. But that doesn't mean that there are going to be challenges or things that arise. And it's best to be prepared and to have some of that stuff outlined, especially things that we know are very common, like this stuff that we're talking about here. So I hope this was helpful. Seriously, guys and ladies, go get on this app. I'm telling you, it's worth getting in. The conversation's good. Check it out. And hope you have a great day. And hope this was helpful. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.